morning I'm going to talk about Hesed, a God who delights in Hesed. We're going to be in Micah chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 14, read through 20. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days long ago. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all their power. They will put their hands over their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you. But who is like you? Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. What a powerful transition here, right? From what the nation of Israel was facing. If you read through the book of Micah, and planning to do this chapter, I actually read through Micah this morning. And in the beginning of Micah, God is really getting after his people, because they actually have done a pretty poor job of treating one another well. They've taken advantage. They've not been a just nation. They've taken advantage of people who were not doing well. And God calls them to be just people. And he actually says to them, he says, I'm going to punish you and Samaria. You will really feel my wrath. You will feel. But then he also talks about the nations also that have hurt his people. This is a little bit the world, right? You know, the world will have all of these wars, and they will have all of these struggles, and there will be all of this tension. And what's going on in that day is no different. The nations, the world, they have so much struggle and so much strife, and they're battling for power. And everyone wants control. And God wanted his people to not be like that. Don't be people that care about power, but love, be just. Love your enemies. Care about those that treat you improperly, but love one another. Don't be like the world. That's what God wanted the Israelites to be. You see, Egypt represented power. It was all about power, building, strength, being great. And God called his people out of that to be not power, but to be people of peace. And God says, in the end, they all will be embarrassed. They will all be embarrassed to find out that their power will really amount to nothing. All of their power will only amount to struggle and strife and conflict and problems. And then in verse 18, you can go to the next slide. Oh, thank you for that. That's great. Yes, awesome. Thank you. All right. Okay. In verse 18, it says, who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? What a great question, right? Who is a God like you? These nations, they have all of their issues, and they bow down to their gods, and they build these false hopes and these false dreams, but who is a God like you? And the answer is, next slide, you're a God who delights in Hesed. A God who delights in Hesed. You know, you think about, what does God enjoy? What are the things that God enjoys? God enjoys so many things. And what he enjoys, he actually enjoys showing mercy. God enjoys forgiving sins. God enjoys taking our sins and throwing them into the sea, the Bible says. God enjoys not staying angry forever. And God enjoys, he enjoys keeping his promises. Those are our three points here this morning, amen? Point number one. Who is like God? You know, Hesed does not hold on to anger forever. You know, as you read through what it says, God does not hold on to anger forever. God doesn't, he may be angry for a while, but he doesn't hold on to his anger forever. He's always willing to let it go. 18 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin, forgives transgressions of the remnant of his, who does not stay angry forever, but delights to show mercy. Can you wrap your head around that? That this is who God is, that God loves showing mercy. Mercy. That's not the way I grew up. I grew up thinking that actually authority loved punishing, yeah. Embarrassing, treating you with a lack of dignity, hurting you, inflicting pain. And that was the way I thought God was. Anyone else? That God wants people to go to hell. But God loves showing mercy. He says he delights in showing mercy, delights. Like, I love this picture here. Found this picture. You know, okay, this is not actually God, okay? All right? But look at the smile on his face. It's just like, I'm so happy to show you mercy. Oh, yeah, I can punish you, but I want to show you mercy. Yes, punishment could await you, but anger is a natural reaction, but you don't need to sin in your anger, okay? God does get angry. But even when he gets angry, he bounces back quickly to you, toward you, and says, you know what, though? Even though you annoy me, even though sometimes, Vince, you're a little bit of a pain, even though there are times I just can't wait to show you more mercy. Is that the image that you have of God, a God who wants to forgive? Is that the image? Is that how you think about God? Do we think about God that way? Nobody in here thinks about God that way? I'm on my own. I don't. I already told you, I don't. That's not the way I grew up thinking about God. But it's good to know that God is Hesed. He has this covenant love for you, and that love, it will not hold on to the anger forever. He wants to let it go. He wants to get rid of it. He wants to show you mercy. And I love this verse. It says he delights to show mercy. He says you will again have compassion. God will always have compassion. No matter how bad it is, no matter what your sin is, no matter how much you've done, and maybe some of you are sitting here today and you're just kind of maybe questioning a little bit, can I really get past this? Have I gone too far? Have I sinned too much? Have I missed too many quiet times? Because you know we're all little performers inside, right? Have I missed too many quiet times? Have I done too little? Has it been too long since I've shared my faith? Even that I've stopped coming to church, Ray. Am I unforgivable? But I want you to know God delights in showing you mercy. And here's the thing. Not only should God delight in showing mercy, but we need to delight in showing mercy as well.
Amen.
You know, I'm studying the Bible with a guy I met in my neighborhood. You know, he said those magic words you hear from people. I'm not interested in organized religion. And so you begin to inquire a little bit, and all of his issues, he thinks, are with organized religion. But what his issues really are with people in the church, okay, of these organized religions. These people that really are not merciful, they really don't represent this Hesed God. They hold on to anger too long, right? They're frustrated, they're bitter, and they just can't get past it. Well, it might not just be issues in the church, it could be issues in their families, or it could be issues outside of the church, but really there's a bitterness. There's this dark cloud that hangs over the fellowship. There isn't that lightheartedness, that joy, that I'm so glad to see you. You can't really be that lighthearted and joyful and grateful to see people when you're holding on to your stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can't be that lighthearted when you're holding on to your stuff. It can be stuff with your spouse, stuff in your family, stuff with the church, stuff with a fellowship of churches. But just stuff, right? When you're holding on to that, it's easy to stay angry forever. But not God, amen? Bible says God delights in showing mercy. I think we need to be more like God, amen? Amen. Point number two.
Come on, Ben.
Hesed throws sin into the sea. I love this verse. It says, you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. What a great moment, right? God doesn't merely forgive your sins. God just wants to throw them away, trample them underfoot, take them and throw them into the depths of the sea. God doesn't want to remember your sins. He doesn't want to remember. He doesn't want to hold on to your sins and remember the things you've done and never forget. He'll never forget that time. God will never forget. God will. He wants to forget. He wants to get it so far away into the depths of the sea. Isn't that awesome? God throws away sin. That's what Hesed does. Hesed, that love, that covenant love, it just gets rid of it. It doesn't want to hold on to it. I like this idea. Trampling underfoot. And then after that, that's not good enough. Not only did I squish it, but you know, I'm putting it in the depths of the sea. And they tell me the ocean's depths are pretty deep. Deeper than Mount Everest. 7 miles deeper. That's pretty deep. That's what God does. He doesn't just forgive. He throws it away. He doesn't set it aside. He doesn't archive it. He doesn't say, oh, I'll come back to this later. You know, in the ancient times, the depths of the sea represents chaos and unsearchable. Think about that. God puts your sins in the unsearchable area. You know, you ever lose something on your computer and you can find it? I never can, but maybe some of you know how to do that. I'm like, I can't find it. It's gone forever. That's what God does with your sin. You can't click any buttons to find it. It's gone forever. Disappeared. Isn't that beautiful? But what do we do with our sin sometimes? Oh, man, we just ruminate over it. We think about it. We hold on to it. We hold on to our sin. We hold on to his sin. Hold on to her sin. That's a lot of sin to be holding on to, huh? I'm going to remember your sin and your sin and your sin. I'm never going to forget. Never going to forget it.
It's a heavy,
heavy load. It's a heavy burden to bear. And it's not like God, right? God goes, I know you blew it. I trust me, I know you full well. In fact, I created you. I knew you were going to blow it. But I want to forgive you anyway.
Amen.
Completely. That's Hesed, amen? But isn't it, that's who God is. That's how God is. That's who he wants to be. But that's who he wants us to be, amen? He wants us to be like him. And so when you grab hold of this about God, when you understand this about God, that he doesn't want to hold on to your sin, then it actually should make you a little bit happier, more joyful, more free. And maybe to walk around and go, you know, I forgive you. I don't even know what you did, but I forgive you. And I forgive you. And you, well, I know you need to be forgiven of something. This one right here, but I forgive you. She's awesome. And Steve, man, even Steve gets to be forgiven. We get to be forgiven, amen. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Nothing like being married and having kids and having girls and daughters, because all I do is walk around saying I'm sorry. Somebody's crying and my fault. So please forgive me, amen? Hesed throws sin away, amen? That's what love is. That's who God is. That's what covenant love is. And point number 10, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors. Says, God, you promised. You promised you would show mercy. You promised you would forgive. You promised you wouldn't hold our sins against. You promised this, God. And God goes, I know. I always keep my promise. I always keep my pledge. He will show faithfulness. That covenant love. God always remembers his promises. Abraham lived centuries before Micah, right? But Micah knew, God, you promised. God still honors his covenant. That's what Hesed does remember. It remembers that I said I love you. It remembers that I said I care for you. And this is God's mercy. It's never just sort of this, you know, emotional impulse, right? It's covenant loyalty. It's well beyond your mistakes and how you feel today. Or the week you're going through, amen? That's the beauty of who God is. And I want to remind us of this, because I think we, if we don't have the right idea of who God is, then we're not going to have the right view of ourselves, amen? And if we don't have the right view of ourselves, then we're going to have a pretty twisted view of those around us as well, amen? And so even something, the act of sharing our faith becomes complicated, because I really, I'm not that eager to see people have their sins forgiven. Because I'm holding on to my own junk and I'm so distracted and bogged down by my own stuff that it's hard for me to reconcile that God wants to show mercy to everyone. That's what he does. That is what he lavishes on us, that grace, that mercy. Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. While we were still sinners, God is still in the business of throwing iniquities into the depths of the sea. Amen. He wants to do nothing more than to heal and to make us clean and whole again. This is the love that needs to shape our church. Amen. If God delights in Hesed, then Hesed has to shape his people. The church must become a Hesed community, right? Where covenant loyalty replaces convenience. I just don't have time for it, right? When we're covenant, so we just figure it out. We make time, amen? We just sort of make it happen. There's a commitment there, and so I will figure it out. I will make it happen. We will serve God. We will serve one another. We will do what it takes. We will be like Catherine and Michael White and Hadrian and Yolanda Suber. You know, Catherine and Michael White, they turned the Fellowship Hall into the most gorgeous wedding reception venue for Greg and Linda. It was amazing. And poor Michael, he had just gotten off from work. And he Catherine was dragging him up here. And you know, the women, they get pretty excited about decorating. And Catherine was all fired up. And Michael's walking behind her like, oh, God. I know, I saw that look on his face. And Catherine's bossing him around. Do this, do that, do this. Mike, you know, Michael's doing it, though. And nothing's good enough when the women are decorating. It's all just got to be perfect. And I'm just like, you know, and then at the end, Catherine has done everything. She's walking around looking at it all, just kind of trying to figure out, okay, what else do I need to do? And Michael's like, it's time for us to go. First, he muttered it, let's go. And Catherine didn't hear him. And she was still in, you know, she was still in decoration mode, and she was like focused. I'm like, what else did I forget? And, ooh, this looks so good. And Michael's like, hey, let's go. Let's go. Then Michael started waving, let's go. And she still wasn't paying attention. I was sitting there waiting to lock the building up, and inside I'm kind of snickering a little bit. And I want to go home too, but I'm not going to get involved, you know what I'm saying? And Michael said it a third time, let's go. And Catherine still, she don't even hear him because she's so focused on serving. And she has got so much joy on her face. She's like, oh, my gosh, this is, she's so excited. And she's talking about how this reminds of her birthday party and all of this. And Michael's in the background going, let's go. So finally I turned to Catherine. I said, Catherine, what time are you getting here tomorrow? She goes, 11:30. I said, okay, you can finish it tomorrow. Take your husband home. She goes, oh, okay, yeah, okay. Michael, you owe me one. But I just love that servant attitude, you know, that enthusiasm. I mean, Hadrian has it too. You know, Hadrian's running around taking pictures and everything. And you know, the wedding was over and everything was wrapping up. And I was So I was just like, hey, you know, I'm ready to get home. I'm like, Hadrian, are you leaving? He goes, I don't know. Whatever Yolanda wants to do. I go in the back. Yolanda's washing dishes. And she's getting everything together. And Hadrian's just hanging out, reading to the baby. And they just stayed here till they were the last people to leave to make sure that everything was ready for Sunday morning. Amen. I just go, that's a servant heart, amen? It was just a hesed love there that was just, it was just good, amen? It brings a smile to your face. It's not about what's convenient. It's about covenant love, amen?
Amen.
But hesed love, it restores. And restoration is always available. It's more important than condemnation, right? We want to restore. We want to heal. We want you back. We want you to be with us. We want you here. And whatever you've done, you are welcome back.
Amen.
And it's where mercy replaces keeping score. It's so easy to keep score, right? To remember what someone did, but man, mercy, it replaces the scorekeeping. Because hesed people, they reflect the hesed God, amen? Who is like God? Who is like God? There is no God like the one who refuses to hold on to anger and delights in mercy. There's no God like the one who tramples our sins under feet and throws our sins into the sea. There is no God who keeps his covenant forever. Like no other God, all the other gods, they were all about punishment. But our God says, I will remember your sins no more. Amen. And I always love you. God bless. Amen.